Hello, welcome to the IDP show. I'm your host, Adam Markham. I am joined in the virtual Soul Check by the one, the only, Johnny the Greek. Johnny, how are we doing this evening?
Outstanding, my friend. Just about a month left in the fantasy season. I'm ready for some titles. How about you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hoping for some titles as well. But yeah, I mean, we're almost there. We're almost to the playoffs. This is pretty much a playoff week, I would imagine, for most people. I'd say a lot of people are in situations. If you're still tuning in, you're probably in a situation where it's still important to you. I mean, obviously you love us, but I'd imagine that you're wanting to be locked in here at playoff time if you're out there listening.
Yes, sir. Let's help them out.
That's what we're going to do. We're right in the middle of the Raiders Rams game. Actually it's about over. There is 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. The Rams are trying to push it in here. Looks like they're gonna at least get a first down, 16-3. But this has been a pretty fun game. Johnny, have you any takeaways from this one so far?
Nah, yeah, Jacobs got nothing IDP takeaways. Jacobs messed his hand up pretty good, and that's not ideal, but that's it really.
Max Crosby looks great. He's pretty much been disruptive on every play that he's not getting held on. So Chandler Jones also still looking pretty solid. He's had a decent little game. I think he's got a half sack in this one. But yeah, it's pretty competitive. The Rams just scored right now, so it's 16 to probably 10 here in just a second.
Yeah, about 4 minutes left. Yeah.
All right, so we'll be watching the end of that one while we take you through this preview, but let's go ahead and get right into it. The teams on bye this week, the Falcons, the Bears, the Packers, the Colts, the Saints, and the Commanders. So that's some pretty big IDP assets on those teams. So, there might be some situations where you're in a pinch this week. So hopefully we can help you uncover some maybe diamonds. First game we got, Browns versus the Bengals. The Bengals have allowed 36 sacks on the season. That is seventh most in the NFL. The Bengals pass blocking unit ranks 24th according to PFF. The Browns rank 11th according to PFF. Players we're going to start for Cleveland, Myles Garrett, 15.7 points per game this year. Kind of a bit of a down year, I guess, when you compare it to years past. But, I mean, he could easily get hot and win us some championships here at the end of the season. 92.2 PFF grade. I think that might be the highest graded edge rusher. Denzel Ward, 12.4 points per game, 47.6 PFF grade. But he's always a threat to make a big play every week, so he's a great corner option. JOK averaging 11.6 points per game, 63.7 PFF grade. Here's the big name, though, for the Browns this week, Tony Fields. So Sione Taki-Taki tore his ACL in week 13, which is a bummer. This was a contract year for Taki-Taki. But Fields was his replacement. He played 51% of the snaps, and he picked up four tackles, had a pick six, a forced fumble, and a fumble recovery. It might have not. Was it a pick six or was it a fumble recovery that he took to the house? Either way.
No. Ward had the fumble recovery. He had a pick six, I believe.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I think he's going to be a great option. Do you have any? Are you picking up Tony Fields, rostering him, and starting him?
I went in. I saw the same thing you guys did. They're Deion Jones. They got him. They saw what they got, and they were like, "What have we done?" It's clear. I think it's going to be Tony Fields. A lot of people think that. So yeah, I grabbed him.
Yeah, Grant Delpit may be an option for you. He's averaging 9.8 points per game, 57.6 PFF grade. Greg Newsome returned, which means reduced snaps for Martin Emerson. Emerson only played 57% in week 13. Jadeveon Clowney, 70.3 PFF grade this year. It is a good matchup against the Bengals, so, I mean, you can do worse. Dynasty stashes, we're looking at, like, Alex Wright. He has gotten a decent opportunity this year. He hasn't really done much with it, but he's someone that we're going to stash and hope that he improves. Players we are going to start for Cincinnati. Sam Hubbard, 13.9 points per game this year, 72.4 PFF grade. Trey Hendrickson, 11.9 points per game, 82.8 PFF grade, 88.8 pass rush grade. Von Bell, 11.7 points per game, 63.9 PFF grade. Jermaine Pratt, 11.5 points per game this year. He's playing 73% of the defensive snaps, 78.0 PFF grade. Logan Wilson, he's averaging 10.6 points per game, but he's playing 96% of the snaps, 68.5 PFF grade. That's just kind of funny. The guy playing less is outproducing. Logan Wilson been just very meh this year. Nothing special. Hopefully he can turn it on for us. But I mean, he's been basically like a linebacker 3-4 type for you this year. Cam Taylor Britt, second round rookie, has done a great job replacing Shadobe Owuzie. He's averaging 11.4 points per game over his last three. Some dynasty stashes: Daxon Hill, Akeem Davis Gaither, Joseph Asai. I think Jermaine Pratt is a free agent. I could see him easily getting a nice spot next year. You know, kind of like Rashawn Evans type situation. He might get. I'd imagine he'd get a multi-year deal. I don't think he'd just get a one-year deal because, I mean, he's a good linebacker. Those grades reflect that. But anytime he's out on the field, he pops. Anything else here in these matchups that I'm missing, Johnny? Corner-wise, maybe?
Yeah, no, it's definitely a good Denzel Ward week for sure. Anytime you got the Bengals on the other side there. We covered all the big names for sure. And great point on Pratt. He's one of my all-22 linebackers because he does have that good week-to-week PFF grade.
Yes, sir. All right, Jets versus the Bills. You got it?
Yeah, I got you. We'll do the old switcheroo. So the Bills pass blocking unit ranks 21st. Jets is 22nd, so kind of middle of the pack for both. We got a couple injuries we're monitoring. Jordan Poyer did not practice Thursday. Matt Milano did not practice Thursday, so keep an eye on that. And we know it looks like A.J. Klein, if it's no Matt Milano, that changed recently. And then Jordan Poyer, who knows? It was Jaquan Johnson for a while, but who knows? So dangerous situation there. Something to keep an eye on with the beat writers. Scoring leaders for the Jets, Quinnen Williams leads the way. 16.4 points per game, 90.2 PFF grade. Finally, the coming out party we've all expected for the DT1, Quinnen Williams. CJ Mosley right behind him, 14.3 points per game, 69.9, nice PFF grade. Sauce Gardner right behind him, 11.2 points per game, 84.2 PFF grade, 86 coverage grade, and a great name. Quincy Williams right behind that, 10.8 points per game, 51 even PFF grade. Jordan Whitehead, 10.3 points per game, 68.8 PFF. He's got a pretty good matchup this week. I like him. Carl Lawson at the defensive line, 9.6 points per game, 63.7 PFF. And DJ Reed, the other good corner here, 9.5 points per game, 73.4 PFF grade. Dynasty stashes, Jermaine Johnson on the defensive line and Michael Clemens, and they have 70.8 and 76.2 PFF grades respectively. Anyone else on the Jets that we want to mention before we go over to the Bills here?
No, just want to mention that Jordan Whitehead has been very hot lately. He's averaging 14 points per game since week 9. Really good player. Really good player. He's currently the defensive back 19 on the year. Yeah, and I mean, I think, you know, he's a big part of why that defense is much improved this year.
Yeah, good matchup.
And that team's
too.
Better.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is going to be not like the first matchup we saw with these two. Mike White's the truth. You know what I mean? We're going to get some points here. That's always good for IDP.
Yeah.
All right. Looking at the Bills, Matt Milano's their leading scorer, 15.6 points per game with a 74.3 PFF grade. Jordan Poyer right behind him, 13.8 points per game, 74 PFF grade. Tremaine Edmonds having a bit of a better year, 12.6 points per game. 83 PFF grade, and that's way up from the last 2 years where he had a 48 and a 41. Greg Russo playing a few more snaps without Von Miller last couple weeks here, 12.1 points per game, 82.3 PFF. He is in a little bit of a slump, but the playing time's there. We know the talent's there, and those are the things that lead to production, so I'm not too worried about it. Ed Oliver, right behind him, 9.8 points per game, 74.4 PFF. And then DeMar Hamlin, who is in an absolute slump lately, but started the season so hot. 13 points per game, weeks 4 through 10, but has dropped to 7.8 over his last three games. 64.6 PFF. I'm still starting him in a bunch of places. This is not your typical Jets team. These guys can score points, and that's fine. I think this is going to be a good matchup for him. Dynasty stashes, Terrell Bernard. Anything else on the Bills we missed? Corner-wise, sure, maybe. I don't know. There are better places to stream from this week. Tre'Davious White only played like 60-something percent of snaps last week. He's still not full go yet. And it's kind of a mess beyond that. So I really wouldn't touch that from this side.
All righty. Good stuff there. Moving on to the Eagles versus the Giants. The Giants pass blocking unit ranks 18th, according to PFF. The Giants have allowed 37 sacks on the year. That's fifth most. The Eagles have the number one rated pass blocking unit. So some injuries to monitor this week. Leonard Williams did not practice Thursday. Kaiser White was limited Thursday with an ankle. Scoring leaders for the Eagles, T.J. Edwards, been an absolute beast this year, 15.3 points per game, 84.6 PFF grade. That is the fourth highest graded linebacker. So that guy is probably going to get paid this offseason. I wonder how that shakes out. I mean, both those linebackers there, Kaiser White just signed a one-year deal. T.J. Edwards is expiring. Do you have any opinion? I mean, obviously, N'Kobe Dean is the answer here, but I mean, do you think they retain one of those two linebackers?
Yeah. I don't know, to be honest with you. Edwards has looked great, though. That's the guy I trust more.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like he's going to be expensive, though. I think a lot of the league has taken note. He could get a nice little payday somewhere. So I think if that's the case, they probably just let both those guys walk and just go forward with N'Kobe Dean and maybe try and bring a vet in for cheap. But yeah, Hassan Reddick, 13.8 points per game this year, 75.4 PFF grade. Javon Hargrave, 12.6 points per game, 78.7 PFF grade. He has cooled off lately. He was, you know, on a tear for a stretch there.
Yeah, he did okay last week. But yeah, before that, he was definitely on a slump, yeah.
Josh Sweat, 12 points per game, 84.2 PFF grade. So love to see that. Kaiser White, like I mentioned earlier, 8.7 points per game, 59.0 PFF grade. Like I mentioned, N'Kobe Dean, he's your stash here for Dynasty. Probably one of the best buys just because he didn't get his opportunity, but really much this year until this past week. But I mean, when he was out there, he was very productive. I think he end up with like five tackles and on 20% of the snaps or something like that. So,
yeah.
Just good signs early on. And again, the opportunity will absolutely be there for him next year. So that's someone I'm really excited to see moving forward. Moving over to the Giants, players I'm considering starting, Julian Love, obviously. He's currently the DB3 on the year. He's averaging 14.2 points per game, 65.2 PFF grade. We had a question today on Twitter about Julian Love, kind of what we think about him dynasty-wise. If we're, you know, trying to acquire him, all that stuff. What do we value him picks wise? No, I mean, this is awesome what he's doing, but I mean, am I going to be surprised if he completely drops off the face of the world next year? No, I expect that honestly. I mean, this is a great season, but defensive back is such a replaceable position. I mean, it changes so frequently. There's no sense in really ever overpaying for a defensive back or chasing a defensive back, anything like that. But certainly he is having a fantastic year. Look at this stat line, 96 tackles, six tackles for loss, which I think is among the leaders at defensive back. One sack, four pass deflections, one forced fumble. So great year for Julian Love. Dexter Lawrence also having a great year. Currently the DL19, and he's averaging 12.8 points per game on the year. But over his last four, that is up to 16 points per game. He has a 91.4 PFF grade that ranks second among all defensive linemen. Azeez Ojulari, welcome back. Ojulari played 58% of the snaps in week 13, and he recorded a sack, a forced fumble, and a fumble recovery. Leonard Williams, also a guy that's starting to heat up, started out very slow, but he's averaging 14.2 over his last five, 83.5 defensive PFF grade. Jason Pinnock has benefited the most from Xavier McKinney missing time. He's averaging 11.2 points per game over his last four. And Xavier McKinney health update. He had the pins in his hands removed last week, but Brian Daboll said the team still isn't sure if he'll be back this season. So that doesn't sound great for his outlook. Kayvon Thibodeau, 8.1 points per game on the year, but starting to heat up back-to-back double-digit games. Also, you just love to see what's happening around him with Leonard Williams coming on, Dexter Lawrence taking a massive step. And Azeez Ojulari, he's back. So I think those are all good things for Kayvon. Other dynasty stashes outside of Kayvon, obviously, Micah McFadden. Snaps and production both are starting to tick up for McFadden. He saw a season high 67% of the snaps in week 13. He played 64% in week 12. So that's a good sign. Then also Dane Belton. He did get his opportunity, and he didn't do much with it. But, you know, he's young. He's learning. He's someone that still should be on the radar, I think. Okay, I think that's all. Anything else for corner-wise in this matchup, Johnny?
Yeah, just a note. Jason Pinnock is definitely a safety, but he's designated a corner in a lot of places. That's a cheat code. Absolutely use that. Yeah, but that's it. That's the Giants. Let's move on to Jaguars versus Titans. Okay, so the Titans pass blocking unit ranks 32nd. That's not good. The Jags pass blocking unit ranks 7th. Injuries to watch. Chad Muma, that's the big one. That is, oh my God, Baker Mayfield did it.
What a game, dude.
Did you see Crosby killed Baker in that drive too? He got a sack.
I missed. I saw Chandler Jones, I guess, also got a sack.
Yeah, and there was an unsportsmanlike on Jerry Tillery that kept the drive going after Crosby ended it.
Wow, what a scene.
What an idiot, man.
I hope they miss this kick.
I hope they do, too. That'd be great. Well, you'll hear us yelling if they miss the kick. But, yeah, Chad Muma, that's the big one. So, obviously, his coming out party was last week, but then he messed his ankle up. He's not been practicing, which is not good, but, you know, hopefully he's back for this weekend. Jeffrey Simmons also did not practice, but that is a tradition at this point. He should be fine. David Long did not practice and is doubtful. We're probably not going to see him. Denico Autry did not practice. Christian Fulton did not practice. Jags players we're looking at include Foye Luakon, obviously, leading scorer, 16.8 points per game, 62.2 PFF. Chad Muma, if he can go, 20 tackles and a sack and a half in his last two games as the starter, 53.3 PFF grade. Andre Sisko also banged up, 12.1 points per game, 71.7 PFF. He appears to be good to go this week, though. Devin Lloyd's definitely come back down to earth, 11.3 points per game, 51.9 PFF. Rayshon Jenkins, 11 points per game, 50.7 PFF. Josh Allen, 9.6 with a 75.5 PFF and a 12.7% pressure rate. Tyson Campbell, who's been ice cold, and this is not a good matchup against the Titans. They cannot throw the ball. I would not play him this week. 9.5 points per game, 74.4 PFF. And Trayvon Walker, 8 points per game, 57 even PFF with a 7.7% pressure rate. Less than ideal. Any thoughts on the Jags here?
Now, what do you think about Josh Allen? Are you fed up?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, he's annoying. He's annoying. And do you have any opinion on the Devin Lloyd situation?
Oh man, what a mess. What an absolute mess. Why do they have three guys for two positions in the first place?
It's the Jags.
It's so stupid. The whole thing is so stupid. And they're paying all this money to linebackers. No one pays linebackers anymore.
I know, man. It's the Jags do. But yeah, they were setting up. I mean, they were setting up one of those young linebackers for just failure. I mean, that's just now a bad situation, you know. It's just not good. But we'll see. I don't know how long we're going to be waiting for Devin Lloyd to – well, he might get his redemption this week. That will be nice, potentially. So we'll see what he does with it. But either way, it feels like Chad Muma is – it's going to be hard to put that genie back in the bottle.
Oh, after last week? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the week before, that might have even been bigger. Because the week before, I don't know if you guys read that article Foye Aluakon said in a press conference that having Muma there took a lot off his plate and allowed him to make plays. And yeah, that week prior was when he had like the almost 20 tackle game and he went nuts.
Right. Yeah. And Muma, Foye's balling right now.
Yeah. So I'm with you. It's going to be tough to undo that. Moving on to the Titans, though, we got lead scorer Jeffrey Simmons, 13.6 points per game, 86.1 PFF grade. He's obviously awesome. When David Long is out, Dylan Cole is in. Last week, it was for 5 tackles on 77% of snaps. Behind him is Joe Schobert. Behind him is Monty Rice. Dylan Cole is probably the only guy that's going to have any value because they also run a third safety when they're missing people, Andrew Adams. So just keep that in mind. Mario Edwards, averaging 12 points per game over his last 5, 3 sacks in that span, 62.1 PFF. That's fallout from them missing Harold Landry, some other injuries on the defensive line.
Autry.
Right, Autry. That's been nice to see. Speaking of Autry, 12.8 points per game, 80.1 PFF. Rashad Weaver, basically 10 points per game, 59 PFF. Monty Hooker is back. We'll see for how long. 9.5 points per game, 67.2 PFF. Roger McCreary has unfortunately slowed way down, and this is probably not a great week to start him either. 8.9 points per game, 61.5 PFF. Bud Dupree, 8.6 points per game, 62 PFF. And Kevin Biard having a bit of a down year as well. 8.1 points per game, 72.1 PFF. Yeah, besides Simmons, the Titans ain't what they used to be, it feels like.
No, yeah, too many injuries. And then they don't have anyone on offense. Derrick Henry's getting old. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's pretty obvious what they're going to try and do on offense every week. So that makes it a little bit easier to stop this year, I think. So, but, you know, they're still going to make the playoffs. They could still make some noise. They're well coached. But yeah, that's a very boring brand of football.
Yeah, you know what though, it travels in the postseason. Good run game, defense. Yeah. If they got to go somewhere and it's snowing or some shit, like that's all they need. They can win that.
Yeah, they're gonna be building a new stadium in Nashville.
Really?
Yeah, so that'll be nice. That stadium now is a dump, Nissan Stadium.
Mm.
Terrible. All right, Vikings versus the Lions. I don't have the line pulled up, but I think the Lions are favored in this one I saw.
They are, which is wild. It makes no sense. And the over-under is probably super high with these two offenses.
Oh, it should be a fun one. Lions pass blocking unit ranks 27th, although they are getting some people back this week, I believe. Vikings pass blocking unit ranks 20th. Injuries to watch in this game. Danielle Hunter did not practice Thursday. Harrison Smith upgraded to limited after not practicing on Wednesday. Jeff Okuda is still not practicing. So scoring leaders for the Vikings is Za'Darius Smith, 16.4 points per game, 80.4 PFF grade. Harrison Smith continues to get it done, 15.1 points per game. That is top 5 defensive back numbers, 65.3 PFF grade this year. Jordan Hicks, 14.7 points per game, 62.8 PFF. That's been a great signing for Minnesota. Danielle Hunter, 13.6 points per game. He's had a much better second half. Remember, he was one of those guys that started out slow and everyone was like, what's going on? 82.5 PFF grade. Eric Kendricks, 12.4 points per game this year. Bit of a down year, but he is starting to heat up. He is always solid. He's a solid linebacker 2-3, and I think he's going to continue to be that for another probably 2 years. 60.6 PFF grade this year, which is down from years past, but he's still a good linebacker. Patrick Peterson having a fantastic year, 11.5 points per game, 80.6 PFF grade. And then Cam Bynum, 9.2 points per game, 60.0 PFF grade. I guess if Danielle Hunter happens to miss this game, DJ Wonnum could be an option. Maybe Patrick Jones, if you're feeling lucky. I mean, both those guys, if you're feeling lucky, really. But Patrick Jones has been kind of productive as of late. He's had some nice splash weeks. It's his second year in the league, so you like to see that. So he's someone you should stash for Dynasty. Lewis Cine, don't forget about him. He might have gotten dropped out there. And then Brian Asamoah, another Dynasty stash. Anything else, Johnny? Any corners that I should mention in this match? Yeah. This is a great corner matchup. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, 100%. This is one of the best ones this week. Cam Bynum is designated a corner in a lot of places. Take advantage of that. Patrick Peterson, obviously. Same thing in reverse. If Okuda can go, that's a good week for him. Will Harris, he's a safety, but designated a corner in a lot of places. They just screw this up on all the sites, and we just got to take advantage.
Good stuff there. Okay, moving on to the Lions. Romeo Okwara, he is set to make his season debut this week. I think he tore his Achilles last year. So we'll see. Another edge guy in the mix. They have quite the rotation there, especially James Houston. This guy has come out of nowhere, and he's been very productive as of late on limited snaps. But, yeah, I think that's hard to count on. And plus he doesn't get the defensive line tag in sleeper, I noticed. So that's kind of a bummer, but yeah, that guy's been very productive lately. Alex Anzalone, 13.5 points per game, 55.2 PFF grade. He's been really solid this year. For IDP at least. Kirby Joseph, the rookie, 8.9 points per game this season, but he's averaging 15.1 points per game over his last five, 68.6 PFF grade. So that looks like a really good pick that Detroit made. They got a nice nice safety group there with Joseph, Deshaun Elliott, Tracy Walker once he comes back from injury. Deshaun Elliott, speaking of, 11.6 points per game, 69.1 PFF grade. Malcolm Rodriguez, 11.3 points per game, 64.5 PFF grade, but played just 40% of the snaps in week 13. Those numbers have been trending down lately, so not someone you can trust anymore. Aiden Hutchinson, 10.6 points per game, 70.1 PFF grade. He's also been pretty average, but I think that he's going to be fine moving forward. Still someone that you want to maybe go out and acquire, you know, if a contender has him, that may be, you know, someone you try and target. Because he hasn't been that impressive this year. John Kaminsky, 6.7 points per game on the year. He has been getting a lot of opportunity as of late, but we'll see how that changes with Okwara, James Houston kind of coming into the mix. But Kaminsky's been very good, especially from a pressure standpoint. 60.6 PFF grade this year. I think that is it for the Lions. Any cornerbacks that you're interested in on that side?
Yeah. Okuda, Will Harris. Those are the two guys to go after. It's kind of a mess beyond that, so I would just stick to those two.
I think Okuda is out this week. Is there who would be his backup?
Jerry Jacobs would be his direct backup, with Omani Awarie being a possibility, but he'd been benched, not benched a bunch this season, so I'd just stay away from that. Jerry Jacobs would be the guy.
Mm. Just ask Johnny, folks. Just ask Johnny if you got any corner questions.
It's all in the brain box now. We're in week 14.
That's right.
All right, that's the Lions. Let's move on to the Texans versus the... How about them Cowboys? This is going to be a bloodbath. I can't wait to watch this.
How you feeling about your boys?
Good. We're going to, you know, exit immediately in the playoffs, as is tradition. But it's been a fun brand of football, man. That game last week against the Colts, like, I was shitting bricks at halftime. And then, you know, it was 50 by the time I went to bed.
I know, man. I didn't even, I turned it off and yeah, I saw the score the next day. I was like, wait, what?
It was all in the fourth quarter.
That's insane. You got a good team there. It's insane how good your division has ended up being. You know, I think to start the year, a lot of people would have said that was one of the worst divisions in football.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But it is competitive, dude.
Yeah, it really is. It's been nice. And your team's doing well, too. It's been a nice NFC. I feel bad for Bob a little bit, but he got his Super Bowl last year. So
he's all right. He's fine. He's fine.
He'll be fine. Yeah. All right, so the Texans have allowed 33 sacks, which is the eighth most in the NFL, but they're 29th ranked pass blocking unit, and they've got the Cowboys pass rushing down this week. Yikes. The Cowboys have the 19th ranked pass blocking unit and have allowed 15 sacks, which is the fewest in the NFL. Polar opposites there. Scoring leaders for the Texans, Jalen Petrie, looking real good, and he finally got full snaps again last week, so that was good to see. 13.3 points per game, 47.8 PFF, which is not great, but he plays enough and he gives us points. That's all we care about. He leads the NFL in missed tackles with 25. He's a rookie. It is what it is. It is what it is.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of missed tackles.
But hey, those could be tackles next year, folks.
That's right. Silver lining.
That's right.
Beyond him, we got Christian Kirksey, 12.9 points per game, 59.1 PFF. Desmond King, just be careful with Desmond King, because if Derek Stingley plays, King's playing time takes a huge cut. So just keep that in mind. 12.5 points per game with a 73.8 PFF. Jerry Hughes, who was excellent for the first part of the season, has really cooled off. 11.1 points per game to start the year, only averaging 1 point per game over his last three. 73.2 PFF, less than ideal. Then we got Jonathan Owens, also less than ideal, because he was great this year, 9.5 points per season, also averaging just 5.4 over the last three, and his playing time took a hit as well. He's been down to about 80% of snaps the last month or so out of nowhere for whatever reason. His PFF is 49.7. Christian Harris, kind of a bummer. You know, he's got the playing time. You know, this team's at defense quite a bit. He's averaging just 7.5 points per game since week seven with a 28.6 PFF grade, which is horrendous. That is red if you're an all 22 person, and red is bad. So this is fifth worst amongst all linebackers. Not great. And then I'm going to try and not Bobby this. Ogbonio Okorowanko?
Yeah, we know who you're talking about.
That guy, 57% of snaps in week 13, scored in double digits in three of his last four games. So looking good there. Any other Texans strike your fancy this week?
No, I don't think so. Not a lot to pick from there. Nice to see Jalen Petrie doing his thing. He's been a nice little playmaker. Christian Kirksey, still one of those guys that is way younger than you think. He's 29, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, he could still have, you know, some value in some IDP leagues, I think, for another, you know, maybe year or two. But yeah, I think we hit on all the big boys there.
Yeah. This is an okay week for like Steven Nelson, Desmond King, Derek Stingley, if they play, because the Cowboys pass more than they should. They should never pass. They should just run and play defense, because then they'd win every game, not just most games. But that's just one fan's opinion. So decent corner week for them, bad corner week for the Cowboys, because it's going to be splash play dependency. The Texans cannot complete passes, and completed passes are our floor. Moving on to the Cowboys. Lead scorer, Micah Parsons. I don't think we're shocked by that. 20.5 points per game, 91.4 PFF, absolute monster. Good God. After him, we got Donovan Wilson. 13.6 points per game on the year, but he's down a little bit lately. 9.4 points per game in the last four, 16.7 PFF. After that, we got D-Law, 12.7 points per game with a 78.9 PFF. He's in a little bit of a slump as well.
Foot though, right?
Yeah.
That'll do it.
It's the second time that's happened to him.
Yeah, it's amazing he's even out there playing.
Yeah, it's incredible. I hope it's not the same foot, because this happened a couple years back, too, and it was devastating. Yep. But beyond him, we got Jayron Kearst, 11.5 points per game, 66.7 PFF. Then Dorrance Armstrong, the other excellent pass rush guy, 11.3 points per game, 61.2 PFF. Trayvon Diggs, 10.1 points per game, 71.1 PFF. If you had to start any Cowboys corner this week, this would be the one I would do, just because it would need an interception for it to be a good game, because there aren't going to be enough completed passes for tackles and pass defense. And if someone's going to get a pick, it's Trayvon. So there you go. After him, it's LVE, 8.7 points per game, 69.5 PFF. Dante Fowler, occasionally he'll score some points, 8.4 points per game, 61.8 PFF. Dynasty stashes, Sam Williams, pass rush, 8.1 points per game, 69.5 PFF, 75.3 pass rush grade. That looks really good. And there was someone on NFL radio the other day on Sirius talking about offensive and defensive line rookies and who the best were, through the season. And Sam Williams was his number one defensive line guy going into next year. So this is legit. And then Damone Clark, 49% of snaps in week 13, 56.5 PFF grade. And that was mostly just due to injury. Anything else on the Cowboys?
No. Yeah. I love Sam Williams. He's looked amazing, and he's had some really nice weeks for IDP as well. And Damone Clark. Yeah. I mean, he's, already playing 49% of the snaps. LVE is gone next year. He could be someone that could be valuable next year. I think we got them all there, Johnny.
Yes, sir. Quite a few IDP pieces on the Cowboys. Yeah.
And I mean, even Dante Fowler this week. I mean, that's a good matchup for him, against the Texans. I mean, that's kind of how he does it. He has a sack, then he takes a week or two off, has a sack. So this could be one of his sack weeks.
Oh yeah, they're gonna have like 8-9 sacks this week, so they'll be plenty.
Yep. All right, Ravens versus the Steelers. This one doesn't feel as exciting as years past. not as juiced up for this one. Ravens pass blocking ranks second. Their pass blocking unit ranked second. The Steelers ranked ninth. So injuries we're watching out for in this one. Cam Hayward did not practice Thursday. TJ Watt did not practice. Marcus Peters did not practice, but that was not injury related, just rest apparently. So
yeah, and there's I don't know if anyone's noticed, but illness is going around the NFL.
That's true. Yeah, I saw where the flu had made its way through one of the locker rooms.
Yeah, I got the Chargers last week. It hit the Vikings this week. A lot of guys got the flu lately.
Yeah, 'tis the season.
Yep.
Okay, so scoring leaders for the Ravens. Marcus Williams due back soon. He was averaging 17 points per game since injury, so that's someone that needs to be added if he's out there. He was actually available in a couple of the leagues I'm in, so I am hoping that, maybe I have a safety one down the stretch. Mm-hmm. Nate Hobbs, very similar situation. We saw him play tonight. He was out there on waivers for me. I picked him up in like multiple leagues. He's been balling. Roquan Smith, 16.1 points per game on the season with a 61.7 PFF grade. But here are his splits. He averaged 18.1 points per game and 10.4 tackles per game with Chicago. He's averaging 11.7 points per game and just 7.75 tackles with Baltimore. Are you concerned at all about Roquan's dynasty value, Johnny?
Yeah, I'll tell you how concerned I am. I'm playing Shaq Thompson over him in multiple leagues this week.
Wow.
Better matchup. Defense will be on the field more often. An offense on that team that's more conducive to going three and out. Those are all things that matter. And less chefs in the kitchen.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you need to be looking at that stuff. You need to be looking at how people are performing lately. We break that stuff down over at the IDPshow.com on our ranks. We look at how people have been performing over the last 4 to 5 weeks. It's just very important. You don't need to just, we prefer points per game over total points, but I mean, even points per game has its flaws. You want to be able to see how players are performing recently, within the last month or so. So yeah, you need to always be aware of that stuff.
Yeah, and as a box score guy, there is a night and day difference between the Bears' box scores and the Ravens' box scores for Roquan.
Yeah, I mean, just look at Jack Sanborn. Look at how he's doing in Chicago versus Roquan. Sanborn right. is the linebacker you want by far.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay, so Patrick Queen, I think he left the game early last week, right, with like a thigh injury or something?
Yeah, they carted him and scared the crap out of everyone. It's just a thigh bruise. He's practicing this week. He's fine.
Okay, all right. I think we talked about that on our pod this week. Yeah, they're carting everyone these days. I wish they would. Can you stop doing that? You're scaring us. We can't take it. 68.0 PFF grade. That's much better than his first few years. Justin Houston, 14.1 points per game, but he's averaging just 3.5 over his last three. 73.6 PFF grade this year, though, so nice to see that out of the, what is he, 35, 36?
Oh, yeah.
He's up there. Marlon Humphrey, 11.5 points per game on the season, but he's averaging 17 points per game over his last four. 78.9 PFF grade on the year. Calais Campbell, similar situation, 10.7 points per game on the year, but he's averaging 14.2 over his last six. It's pretty impressive. 77.9 PFF grade. And then Tyus Bowser, nice to see him back in action. His playing time has been between 60 to 72% of the defensive snaps since returning week 9, 66.3 PFF grade. And then our OA update. Snaps were down to 32% this week. That is a season low. Mm. So, yeah, not what we hope for out of OA. They have a lot of chefs in the kitchen as well. At least they are experienced chefs. So you hope that he's maybe soaking up some of that knowledge, can maybe come out next year and do better about putting it together. He's averaging just 6.8 points per game with a 55.9 PFF grade. Dynasty stashes for the Ravens. Kyle Hamilton, been playing very well PFF-wise, 84.6 PFF grade. And then David Ajabo. I don't think he is officially returned yet, but I do think that they plan on using him at some point this year. So definitely someone you need to have on your Dynasty radar, both those guys. And really good buys, both those two. Scoring leaders for the Steelers, TJ Watt, 16.2 points per game, 80.4 PFF grade. He still doesn't really seem himself. I think he maybe came back a little too soon. I don't know why he came back, period. When that first happened, there was, you know, talks that he was done. Usually that is a year, you know, a season ender.
Right.
But whatever, he's back out there and he's doing okay. I would expect the production to pick up towards the end of the year as he gets more healthy and comfortable. Alex Highsmith, 14.8 points per game, 80.9 PFF grade. He's been great this year. Mm. Minka Fitzpatrick, 14.7 points per game, 85.2 PFF grade. Kim Hayward, 12.1 points per game, 88.7 PFF. Miles Jack, 10.7 points per game, 52.9. Levi Wallace, 10.1 points per game, but he's averaging 15.6 over his last four, 54.2 PFF grade. And then Devin Bush, remember that guy?
Mm,
6.8, yeah, 6.8 points per game, 61.2 PFF grade. He's been a major bummer. We'll see what happens with his career. I'm sure that he's going to be moving on. Maybe he can bounce back somewhere else.
And he's been playing more than Jack the last week or two, too, for whatever reason.
That's very weird.
Yep. Yeah, it makes no sense. Levi's been hot. This ain't the week, though. This is a backup quarterback on a team that doesn't throw the ball in the first place. That's not what we look to for streaming corner. All right. Chiefs-Broncos? All right, Chiefs Broncos should be a one-sided affair. Are you watching? Speaking of which, are you watching the toilets to touchdown passes thing for Russell Wilson?
No, you tagged me one of those things. I haven't been keeping up though. How are the toilets doing?
Oh, they're winning. So there are 12 toilets and 8 touchdown passes with about a month left in the season, and I am rooting for toilets very, I've been a toilet fan since the beginning.
Yeah.
Toilets are doing great. Yeah.
Love that. That's that's the most important stat on the year. No doubt about it.
Okay. So the Broncos rank 17th in pass blocking, Chiefs rank 12th. Broncos are fourth in sacks allowed with 38. So, could be good week for Karlaftis, maybe. Or that's allowed. Never mind. Reverse that. Scoring leaders for Chiefs, Nick Bolton. Great year. 17 points per game, 73.4 PFF. He's locked and loaded. Lejarius Sneed, I think, is still corner one, and unless you want to call Julian Love a corner, which he is in some places, as weird as that is. 15.8 points per game, 83.5 PFF. Just excellent. Willie Gay, also really good this year. 14.8 points per game, 63.3 PFF. Chris Jones, 14.5 with 91.9 PFF grade. Frank Clark, 8.6. That's about what we expect out of him, 61.9 PFF grade. Carlos Dunlap, also 8.6 points per game, 64.9 PFF grade. But he, much like last year, towards the end of the season, is heating up, averaging 10.4 over the last month. Trent McDuffie, rookie corner, 8.1 points per game, 76 PFF. It's always a Lejarius Sneed week. It is not a Trent McDuffie week. It is not a Joshua Williams week. This is the Broncos passing attack we're talking about, not, the 99 Rams or something. So just keep that in mind. And then George, Furious George, Karlaftis, 6.6 points per game, 51.4 PFF, but he's had sacks in back-to-back games, and he's got a really nice schedule through playoffs. He gets Denver this week, Houston in week 15, and Seattle in week 16. So things are looking good for him. Any thoughts on the Broncos? Chiefs, excuse me.
Is Nick Bolton the dynasty linebacker one? I mean, your candidates are Roquan, Devin White.
Yeah, he probably is, to be honest with you, because Devin White is super spotty this year anyway. And he's not good. That's the problem. His PFF score is garbage, and that means he can get the rug pulled out from under him at any moment, like Cunningham, like Jalen Smith. Like, we've seen that a million times. Yep. Bolton's actually good. He's actually productive. He's super young. There's nothing not to like. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've moved him up to my linebacker one. He's also like 23 versus those guys are, 20. I think Devin White's like almost 25. Roquan's almost 26. So, yeah, I mean, Bolton has been, 17 points per game. I mean, that's elite.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been awesome. But speaking of elite, Josie Jewell, 18 points per game, 70.8 PFF. He's been awesome. That's another guy I'm playing over Roquan this week and really, really every week, unless Roquan's on the Bears, if we're being honest. He's the points leader for the Broncos, 18 points per game, 70.8 PFF grade. Justin Simmons behind him, 12.4 points per game, 78.2 PFF grade. Pretty good matchup for him. The Chiefs have a pretty good offense, so that should work out. Randy Gregory, 12.4 points per game, and I've added him in a couple of places, hoping he comes back, but as this season swirls the toilet, I have my doubts. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'd say you're probably right. But it would be nice to see him come back. He was playing very well before injury. 87.4 PFF grade. Pressure numbers were great this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was solid. He's a really good player. So I hope we get him back for playoffs. We shall see. But one piece of good news for playoffs, Alex Singleton saw 88% of snaps last week. That's the highest he's seen since he had to come in for Jewell a few weeks back. He appears to be the legit second inside linebacker here now. 11.9 points per game with an 85.9 PFF grade. The problem is there's no splash plays. It's all tackles, but there's a ton of them.
How surprising is that, though, that PFF grade for Singleton? That dude usually is butt. Right.
Makes no sense. Yeah. Yeah.
17 tackles last week. I think him and Jewell both had that.
You're right. 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 There's been a lot of weird PFF stuff this year. Desmond King has a good PFF grade. I almost added him as a corner in all 22. And then I came to my senses and I was like, what is going on here? Like, this guy's terrible.
Jermaine Edmonds, another one that's been really good. Yeah, you're right. There's been a lot of that.
Very strange. But yep, Singleton's looking good. Draymond Jones also looking good. 10 points per game, 50 even PFF. Baron Browning, 9 points per game, 64.9 PFF. And Jonathan Cooper, 5.5 points per game. Had a sack last week, 68.1 PFF. This is definitely a good Patrick Surtain week. This is a good Damari Mathis week. You know, the Chiefs are the type of offense you want to stream corner against, no doubt. Thoughts on the Broncos?
Yeah, love me some Josie Jewell. I was beating that drum hard this year. I wonder what his dynasty value looks like. I mean, he is signed there. They gave him a two-year deal. So I do feel good about him being that, you know, other linebacker next year. Outside of that, though, I'm not really sure what type of staying power he's going to have. But, man, I mean, there's not many linebackers that are as productive as Josie Jewell right now.
Mm. Yeah, excellent. Yep.
Okay, so next game we got Panthers versus the Seahawks. Panthers rank fourth in pass blocking. The Seahawks, their pass blocking unit ranks 16th. Scoring leaders for the Panthers, Frankie Louvu, 17.1 points per game this year, 75.1 PFF grade. Another guy who I'm very curious about, what does his dynasty future look like? He is also signed. He's still going to be under contract there for Carolina, so I like that. But I'm not sure about Shaq Thompson. I think Shaq Thompson may – I need to check on his contract, but either way, he's one of those guys that you just, you know, came out of nowhere. He's kind of hard to trust as far as dynasty value goes. I think if you got an opportunity to move him, if you can, you know, get a third for Frankie Louvu, if you can get more, definitely do it. But I think if you can at least get a third, I think you should, you know, really consider moving somebody like that. Brian Burns, 16.2 points per game on the year, but he's averaging 22.7 over his last five. PFF numbers are a little down, though, 65.8 PFF grade. But, yeah, Brian Burns, he's nice to see him have a breakout. That was one of those guys that I was never sure if he was going to put up the big stat, the big sack numbers and all that stuff. But it does seem like he is trending that direction, so we'd love to see it. Shaq Thompson, 11.2 points per game, 66.4 PFF grade. He has been hot as of late, though. Derek Brown, 9.3 points per game. Welcome to the defensive tackle scene, Mr. Brown. 85.5 PFF grade. Jeremy Chinn, down year, 8.8 points per game, 48.1 PFF grade. Mm. Told you guys to sell him in Dynasty. I hope you did. That's another example of never chase a cornerback or a defensive back. The value is just way too far, you know, way too up and down. Marquise Haynes, 7.8 points per game. He has three sacks in his last three games, 64.4 PFF grade. Gross Matos, 6.7 points per game, 47.7 PFF grade, looking like a bust. Any corners for the Panthers, Johnny?
Yeah, this is a good J.C. Horn week. C.J. Henderson's the guy behind him. He plays a little bit less, but yeah, I mean, it's the Seahawks passing attack. Yeah, sign me up. Yeah.
All right, so scoring leaders for the Seahawks, Uchenna Nwosu, 16 points per game this year, 72.6 PFF grade. Jordan Brooks, 15.3 points per game, 59.2 PFF. Tariq Woolen, 13.4 points per game, 72.0 PFF. Looking like maybe the best pick of the draft.
Yeah.
I think he was like a fourth or fifth rounder, I believe. But, yeah, Seattle, they do a good job of finding those defensive backs. Cody Barton, 12.8 points per game, 53.2 PFF grade. He doesn't care if you're going to reduce the playing time. He's still going to get out there and be relevant for us in IDP. And the playing time's fine. I mean, as long as he's getting 70%, fire him up. He is extremely efficient. Michael Jackson, 10.4 points per game, 58.4 PFF. Ryan Neal, 9.5 points per game, 81.3 PFF. He left week 13 in the fourth quarter due to a knee injury, so look for Tez Tabor to replace him.
if he is to miss week 14.
I don't think he's gonna just to pipe in real quick, because everything I've read this week says that they knew that it was going to be a load management thing, and that he could have played the rest of that game last week if they needed him to.
Okay. He's been kind of down though as of late. I mean, if you can find a better option out there, it may not be a bad idea. I think something clearly is bothering that dude.
Oh, he's got more than one injury, and it's the Panthers. It's, you know, this is not like the 07 Patriots across from them. Offense wise, right? There's not going to be a lot to eat here, except for guys like Jordan Brooks and Cody Barton, because they're just going to run what's his face, Deonta Foreman, like 40 times.
Yep, very true. Okay, I guess to wrap up, Seahawks, Kobe Bryant, got to mention him, 9.1 points per game, 55.4 PFF grade. So I think that does it for the Seahawks, Johnny.
Yes, sir. Yeah. It's nice to have the Seahawks be fun again. Now that Russell Wilson has left and Geno's kind of stepped up, like, I really enjoy watching this team again. It's nice.
Yeah, I agree, man. I mean, they're not going to – you hate it. You also kind of hate it for their future, though. I mean, it seems like they may be in a spot where they run it back with Geno, which I don't think that's really where you want to be. I think you don't want Geno, as great as it's been, it's still Geno Smith. We want to get a better quarterback in there, right? Geno's not winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah. But what's nice though is since they've fleeced everyone from the Jets to the Broncos, they'll have the picks to do that.
That is true, man. They are set up very nice for the future. Shout out Pete Carroll, man. He's a good head coach.
No doubt. No doubt. All right, moving on to Bucks 49ers. Real quick, do you think that picture with Antonio Brown is real?
I don't think it is. I think they said it was someone else already. From what I've gathered from the digging I've done, you know, in the comments and stuff, it seemed like it was debunked. But I don't know. Who knows? I wouldn't think so, man. That seems unlikely, but
yeah. Absolutely wild. One of the comments I saw said, "I believe this because that man is a demon."
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess if it were to happen to anybody, it would be someone like AB. So power to him if that's true. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, what a scumbag. I mean, someone take you in your house and you do that. That's why I don't think it's true. Surely to God, not, he didn't do that.
Yeah,
that's as low as it gets.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But just what a crazy person. Anyway, looking at the Buccaneers, so they are sixth in pass blocking, and the 49ers rank fifth. Scoring leaders for the Bucs, still Devin White, even though he's a little spotty, 17.1 points per game, 43.1 PFF. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're worried about. We've seen this movie before, and it always leads to all of a sudden they're not playing.
Yep.
Yeah. After him, it's Antoine Winfield, 13.5 points per game, 78.4 PFF. Then Lavonte David, 12.1 points per game, 84.1 PFF. Mike Edwards, a lot of injuries in the safety core. Last week it was Keanu Neal and Logan Ryan. That's how banged up they were. Mike Edwards, 11.7 points per game, 54.8 PFF. Carlton Davis, great streaming corner option. Maybe not this week. Brock Purdy isn't exactly Joe Montana. 10 points per game, 61.4 PFF. Vita Vea, 9.6 points per game, 61.7 PFF. Great defensive tackle option. Our dynasty stash is Logan Hall. Any other Bucks you want to mention?
No. Yeah, Mike Edwards. Is he going to play this week, you think?
It looks like Winfield maybe isn't. That's what I've been tracking him. I already abandoned
that's ship right.
on Edwards a little bit a while ago.
Keanu Neal has been pretty productive. I was looking at his log. I mean, he's been a fine, you know, option for you if you're in a pinch.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Definitely a solid option. Logan Ryan, I trust way less than Keanu Neal at this moment in time.
Yeah, he's been bad this year. I thought he was going to be used a lot more there in Tampa, but hasn't been the case.
Yep. So, yep, just something to keep an eye on. We heading over to the Niners, though. So, Nick Bosa, 22 points per game, but he's averaging 25.7 for the last month with an 89.9 PFF. He is the sack leader with 15.5 on the year, which is good because I made that bet before the season. So
let's go, Johnny.
Oh, yeah. Things are looking good. Knock on wood. 62 pressures, second most in the NFL. Looking great. Fred Warner's the next highest scorer with 14.5 points per game, but he's averaging 20.1 over the last month with an 83.1 PFF grade. Just a solid, excellent linebacker option always. Talanoa Hufanga after that, 13.6 points per game on the season, but he's definitely in a slump. 8.7 over the last month or so, 67.2 PFF. That's taken a hit over the last month or so, too. He was my all 22 starting safety for like 6-7 weeks. He is not anymore. So just something to keep an eye on. After that, Dre Greenlaw, 12.3 points per game on the year, 16.5 points per game over his last four, 82.5 PFF, just solid. And then we've got Chevarius Ward and Diamador Lenoir are our corner options. Decent matchup against the Bucks. Ward's the better option at 10 points per game with a 78.2 PFF. And then Samson Ebukam, 8.9 points per game, 68.1 PFF grade. And then Eric Armstrong, Armstead, finally came back from injury in week 13. It was his first game back since week four, so we don't even know what this dude is capable of anymore. I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. Thoughts on the Niners?
Yeah, I'm looking up the sack leaders right now. So, yeah, like you mentioned, Nick Bosa, 14.5. Matt Judon, next closest, 13. Micah Parsons, 12. Max Crosby, 10.5. So I think those four guys, I mean, is the MVP – the defensive player of the year, is it coming out of one of those four?
Oh yeah, definitely. And if you're looking at Pro Football Reference, it takes them a week to update it. So
I am.
Yeah, Crosby's got 11.5. So yeah, I think it's probably Bosa, but Parsons has a good shot for sure, especially after this week, I think. But yeah, it's got to be one of those guys. Who are you taking?
Yeah, that's tough, man. I mean, Max Crosby's probably having the best year stat-wise, right? And he's been insane.
Because if they're looking at more than just total sack number, it's got to be Crosby.
Yeah, but the team hasn't been performing well. So, I mean, that's going to be the issue. So, I mean, I guess it's probably got to be Bosa or Parsons.
Yeah.
I think I'd lean, man, that's tough. I'd probably lean Bosa today.
Yeah,
but that's probably because we're coming off the 3-sack performance against the Dolphins. So we'll see what Parsons does this week.
Yeah, wild, absolutely wild. Yeah. But yep, that's that matchup.
Okay, Edge just in a really good spot right now. I mean, there are some really, really good edge rushers at the that are really young right now.
Yeah, it is. Defensive tackle too, in the best spot it's been since I've been playing IDP.
No kidding, man. Yes, we're gonna do a top 8 defensive tackles for Dynasty, and yeah, it's been a lot of fun just looking at those guys and comparing them to each other. Because yeah, it was very easy to come up with 8 defensive tackles this year.
Oh, dude, it's never been like that. There were stretches of years, plural, where it was 3 guys. It was Snacks Harrison, Aaron Donald, and like one other guy. And
Cam Hayward, maybe?
Yeah, Cam Hayward, right. And that's how it was for like a decade. And if you didn't get one of those 3 guys, you were screwed. And that was the end of the story.
Yeah, man, there's some good ones out there. All right, moving on. Dolphins versus the Chargers. Dolphins ranked 31st in pass blocking. Chargers ranked 24th. Injuries to watch this week. Derwin James did not practice Thursday with a quad injury. Sebastian Joseph Day did not practice with a knee injury. So scoring leaders for the Dolphins. Bradley Chubb, 11.7 points per game, 69.9 PFF grade. Christian Wilkins, 11.3 points per game, 78.1 PFF grade.
Jalen Phillips, my dog, 11 points per game this year, 83.1 PFF grade. He has the ninth most pressures with 48, and he has a 19.9% pass rush win rate that ranks seventh best in the NFL. So really love to see Jalen Phillips have his coming out party this year. Jerome Baker, 11 points per game, 72.6 PFF grade. That guy's been playing pretty well as of late. Continues to just be kind of underrated. I think no one really wants to have that guy on their roster, but he does provide you with some pretty nice weeks.
Yeah, yeah. He's okay as like an IDP flex, but you know, because then you can eat the week where they decide they're just going to give him 10% of snaps.
That's true. And they like to use him as a pass rusher quite a bit out there. So, I mean, he does have that sack upside. Javon Holland, 10.6 points per game, 71.3 PFF grade. Melvin Ingram has been pretty solid this year at 9.8 points per game, 74.0 PFF. Landon Roberts, 9.8 points per game, 57.0 PFF. And then Zach Saylor, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but he's been really good as of late, 8.8 points per game, but he's averaging 13.5 over his last five, 73.3 PFF grade this year. Any Dolphins corners that you're excited about, Johnny?
Yeah, this is a good matchup. You know, Tua versus Herbert. This should be a shootout. Kader Kohu for sure. Xavier Howard behind that, and then Asante Samuels and Michael Davis for the Chargers for sure.
Okay, don't have a lot of Chargers that we're really going to pull from. I mean, it's mainly their top guys. Derwin James, 15.7 points per game, 76.1 PFF grade. Drew Tranquil, 14.5 points per game, 59.7 PFF grade. He's second in missed tackles this year with 21. Khalil Mack, 12.8 points per game, averaging just 8.6 points per game since week 9, 74.3 PFF grade. Joey Bosa, I don't think he is close to returning. That was the story that I saw as of 7 days ago. So have you heard anything different, Johnny?
Last I read was mid-December, and we're not at mid-December yet, but it just makes sense. Like, we're almost at the end of the season, and Jamal Adams is nowhere to be seen. Joey Bosa is nowhere to be seen. TJ Watt has played a handful of games this year. Like, it's just a normal... Shaq Darius Leonard, nowhere to be seen. Like, it's just a normal year. It's just a normal year.
It's true. Those guys, they do have that reputation at this point, and they're living up to it. Okay, this is our last one, Johnny.
Yeah, let's close it out, and then we'll do the questions, so we don't forget those. Patriots versus Cardinals. So the Pats have the 21st ranked pass blocking unit. Cardinals is ranked 20th. Scoring leaders for Arizona: Zach Allen, great year, 13.1 points per game, 71.7 PFF grade. Zaven Collins, also a great year, 12.9 points per game, 59.6 PFF. TJ Watt, that old man strength, 12.8 points per game, 62.7 PFF. Isaiah Simmons, 12.7 points per game, 64.4 PFF. Buda Baker, 11.4 points per game, 70.8 PFF. And you don't want any cornerbacks against the Patriots passing attack because it only exists in theory. Cameron Thomas, Dynasty Stash, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think he's definitely someone you want to keep an eye on. Also, Majay Sanders, another nice one there for Arizona. But yeah, I think that about covers it. Zach Allen has been really good this year. That's someone that could see a nice little payday. I think his contract is up after this season, but he's been really good. I've been really impressed with him.
Yes, sir. Moving on to the Patriots, where if it's not one of like two or three people, I don't care. Matthew Judon's one of them, 18.4 points per game, 74.4 PFF, and he's among the sack leaders. Really great season. Kyle Duggar actually has been playing enough lately. He played 99% of snaps last week, 13.8 points per game over his last four, 11.9 for the season, 72.8 PFF. We're looking good there. Jonathan Jones is a good week to start him at corner, 11.4 points per game, 69.2 PFF. Dietrich Wise is also one of the guys I like, actually, because he plays a ton every week. I don't know why. It makes no sense, but I'll take it. 11.4 points per game, 72.9 PFF. And then we've got another decent corner option, at least if you have return yards. Marcus Jones, 10.2 points per game, 75.8 PFF. Juwan Bentley, who may or may not play enough for you, 9.7 points per game, 72.8 PFF. And Josh Uche, 9.3 points per game, 19.1 over his last four, 85.8 PFF. But if we're going to be really honest here, if it's not Judon, Duggar, and Wise, and Jonathan Jones at corner, and McCourty at safety, it's going to fluctuate wildly, and you have no idea what you're getting.
Yeah. Yeah, basically stay away outside of Judon and Duggar, honestly. Yeah.
Right.
But I wish they'd play Uche more. I mean, this guy, every time he gets an opportunity, he flashes like that. He's done that for a while now. This isn't like his first year in the league. Like he's been impressive when he gets his chance. But yeah, that's just, he's lost in that vortex there in New England.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's all she wrote on the previews, I think.
Yes, sir.
All right, so we got a listener question. This is a long one. Do we want to read this entire thing?
Yeah, I'll accelerate to light speed here. So this is from Blake. Thank you for the question, Blake. What edge rushers would you be targeting in trades for next year? Or are there any standout rushers expected to declare that you're excited about for next year? I think I can answer the second part for us immediately. We're not in any Devy leagues, so I got nothing. You got anything?
Will Anderson, someone you're going to want to be paying attention to. I mean, that's the name that I see that keeps popping up. But yeah, we'll be getting into that stuff here in the next month. I mean, we're going to, we like to, you know, draft capital, combine, those are big movers for us. That's going to make all the difference for a lot of these guys. So that's when we're really going to lock in. But yeah, we're going to start digging into all that stuff here in the next month or so. So we'll have an idea of who everybody likes and who are going to be the top prospects. But Will Anderson's the guy that I think you want to reserve, you know, maybe a late first or early second for. But yeah, who are you targeting, Johnny, outside of, you know, the guys coming in? Who are the existing guys that you're targeting?
Yeah, anyone that's young and isn't going to cost me an arm and a leg. So right now that's Brian Burns, George Karlaftis, and Aiden Hutchinson, because there are other young pass rushers that I would like, Crosby, etc., but it's going to cost too much. And these are guys that we haven't seen their ceiling yet. We're starting to see it with Burns, but Karlaftis, Hutchinson, we're just seeing peaks of it, and the best is yet to come.
Yeah, I'm really interested in like Kayvon Thibodeau. I mean, a guy that I think can go to a completely different level next year. Uchenna Nwosu, I mean, a guy that is still probably going to be flying under the radar for what he is. I mean, he is one of the better pass rushers in the league, so I like him a lot. Did you mention Karlaftis, Johnny?
Oh, yep.
Karlaftis is a good one. Arnold Ebiketie is a guy that I like out of Atlanta. He's been, you know, solid at times this year. There's a lot of really good ones, man. I mean, I think Azeez Ojulari was a nice buy, still is a nice buy. Defensive tackle wise, like Quinnen Williams, I think he's DT1. I mean, he deserves a lot of respect. I mean, I'd be trying to send out seconds to acquire him, because I mean, I think he's the next big thing at the position. He already is. But again, one of those guys that, you know, he hasn't been doing it for a while, so the market still may be a little bit behind what he's worth.
Right, that's what you're looking for, right? Like you don't want to pay peak price for these guys. You want to find the guys that aren't quite there yet, but you can see it coming.
Right, Bradley Chubb. I think Bradley Chubb is still a nice buy. The guy's still really young too. You know, he's just like 27. So, I mean, he's really just entering his prime as a pass rusher. Josh Allen, I mean, I know we did bag on him earlier. He's 27 as well. He will be 27. You know, like I mentioned, we're tired of it as well. So that's usually a good time to get out there and send out some offers. I mean, you could maybe get Josh Allen for a third right now, maybe, you know. So something to think about. But, yeah, those would be probably my top targets.
Yeah, and when you can get tandems too, that's always key. I know that's supposed to be an IDP like fairy tale, but we've seen it. We've seen it in recent history. We're seeing it this year in Minnesota. And when you have a tandem, both guys are super productive. It just is what it is.
Sam Williams, speaking of tandems, that could be a nice tandem with Micah Parsons. That would be another guy that I'd be targeting.
Yeah, 100%.
But yeah, thank you for that question.
Yep. You want to get the next one here?
All right, this is a long one. Do I read this whole thing?
I'll do it if you want.
Yeah, you do it. I'm not a good reader.
All right, so this is from Mac. Thank you, Mac. I appreciate you guys putting in the work so I don't have to. Keep up the awesome work. Thank you very much. His league scoring is 1.25 for a tackle, 3 for a sack, 2.5 for a forced fumble or fumble recovery. He needs a week 14 pivot for Buckner, who's on bye. He's got options including lots of different cuts of steak. DeMarcus Lawrence, Hassan Reddick, Trey Hendrickson, Dexter Lawrence, Bradley Chubb, Cameron Hayward, Josh Sweat, Jalen Phillips, Quinnen Williams are all available. So before I even read the rest of this, dude, like, you've got prime rib, New York strip, filet mignon. Like, just pick whatever one you think feels good and fire away, because they all play a ton. They're all productive. They're all talented. They all score a lot of points, and I have no idea which one's going to score the most this week.
Yeah. Yeah, I would try to encourage your league mates to add some more defensive line spots, because those guys shouldn't be on waivers, man. Those are amazing players. You got to find a way to get those guys into your starting lineup. So I think you got to work towards expanding your IDP rosters. And with the scoring, he did mention the scoring was what, 3 sacks, 3 points for sacks,
right?
And then 1.25 for tackles. So, yeah, I think that does make the guys, like, the defensive tackles more appealing. They're the guys that are going to have the higher tackle numbers. Quinnen Williams is the best of both worlds, because he gets the high tackle numbers, but he also, I think, has, like, what, 9 sacks this year?
Yeah, yeah, and that's my original answer down below. Like, the safest is Cam Hayward, Quinnen Williams, guys like that, because you know you've got the floor. You don't have to rely on a sack.
Yeah, I think that's honestly the answer. I mean, safest and might be the best because of the scoring. I would like to see those sack numbers get juiced up a little bit. But, yeah, I'm sorry for talking shit about your league. But
we're degenerates. Apologies. And then one other thing in here. So he's got, would you bench Jesse Bates in favor of Jordan Whitehead, Jalen Ramsey, who played tonight, actually had a good game, Javon Holland, Nick Scott, Taylor Rapp, Xavier Woods, Kareem Jackson, Jeff Okuda, or Marcus Joyner? Yeah, I would bench Jesse Bates for Jordan Whitehead, 100%.
For damn near all those guys, honestly. Jesse Bates has been terrible this year. But yeah, Jordan Whitehead especially. He's been heating up as of late. Yeah, that's an easy call right there.
Yeah, good, great matchup this week too. Like, that feels good. And here's the thing about that list. Those guys are either corners or free safeties, the vast majority of them. The one strong safety or guy that plays in the box a lot is Jordan Whitehead right there. So base it off that.
Yep. Okay, there's another part of this one, right?
I don't think so. I think it's just explaining the lineup. Yes, correct. We're good.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you everyone for those questions. Continue to send those our way. You can always reach out to me or Johnny on Twitters. We're very, very responsive. But yeah, everyone, good luck this week. We hope that you get that win that you need to get you into the playoffs. Johnny, anything that you want to say before we sign off?
Yeah, I mean, just reiterate that. It's not a good time to have six teams on bye. So do what you can, right? Pull out all the tricks and scratch and claw and get those wins, and then new season from there.
That's right. And we are going to be here with you the entire time. We're going to be rocking and rolling all this off season. So it don't stop, folks. We keep going. We love it. You know, it's in our blood. We ain't ever going to stop. All right. You can find my work over at theidpshow.com. You can listen to our pod every week.
Thank you guys for all the support this season. This has been a lot of fun. I think, Johnny, this is our last one that we get to do this year. So,
yeah.
I love you, well, brother. I appreciate you hanging in here and doing this with me this year.
Big same, buddy. We'll be talking.
Yes, sir. All right, everybody. Take care. We love you. Good luck.